Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
Our gospel this morning is from Matthew 14, 22 through 33. It's a story I'm pretty sure you're all very familiar with. Immediately, he made the disciples get into a boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up to the mountain to pray by himself. When evening came, he was there alone, but by this time the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. "It's a ghost!" they cried out in fear. But immediately, Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened and he began to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." So this morning, when I was excited to see what the lectionary was, because for those of you who know me, you're going to know that this really says something to me. And for those of you who don't, I'm going to give you just a little background so you'll understand where I'm coming from this morning. And as I mentioned to you, I wasn't so sure I was the smartest person in the world when I volunteered to do this. Public speaking is not a big deal for me. Probably you all know that. I have no trouble with that part. But talking about the spiritual side of me to all of you is a little more frightening to me. But again, I see friendly faces, so I'm going to forge ahead. Krista's waving at me in the back. And my Aunt Lynn brought my cousin for moral support, so we're good. And I hope you'll indulge me as I kind of go through some of my reflections on sort of the question of what does this scripture mean today to me? I see all of this, me standing up here talking to you, as another step in my own faith journey. I grew up here in Southbury, and our home was on Lake Soar. For those of you who aren't familiar or new to town, that's the water that runs under the I-84 bridge. I have spent many years in, on, and around the water, and I began swimming before I could walk. The story is I crawled right into the water. Rode and drove motorboats as far back as my memories go, and I really still enjoy water skiing to this day. I've been coming to this church for many years. I proudly own a perfect attendance pin with 12-year bars. And I've heard this story of Jesus walking on the water many times, as I'm sure you probably all have as well. And each time I hear the story, or any scripture for that matter, the interpretations we get are based on what's going on in our life right then and there, or perhaps what someone told us way back when. Kind of depends on where we are in that faith journey. So as I began reflecting on this story about walking on water, it reminded me of one of my more childlike interpretations in my younger years. So I mentioned I lived on Lake Soar. It used to be a favorite pastime of ours to take a rowboat, canoe, or whatever, and paddle down the lake just off the shores of the beginning of Kettletown State Park. There's a rock there that sits about with the water just right about this far underneath the surface of the water. And we thoroughly enjoyed as kids climbing out, leaving someone on the rock and pretending that we were walking on water to all the other boats that would pass by. Probably not the most spiritual interpretation there was, but at that age, it was a story remembered and kind of a fun thing to do. Now, Lake Soar is actually part of the Housatonic River, and it cuts and winds its way between the valley and the hills, and storms were almost always something awesome to watch and experience from the sidelines. However, I've been caught in a few in the middle, because as a young person, we weren't always the smartest. So, you know, I've been caught out there in some crazy, crazy storms, and it would get pretty wild and scary. And over the years, this story of Jesus and Peter walking on water has had an appeal for me, probably because of my background. And over the past year, I've found that I'm reading the Bible and the scriptures and the stories with a new desire to determine what those verses mean to me today and what they mean to my life now. So let me go back to the story. In case you've forgotten, I'm going to give you a quick recap. The miracle of Jesus walking on the water is recorded in three of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and John. Not sure what happened to Luke, but anyway, Matthew, Mark, and John. And the story unfolds in the Sea of Galilee, which lies in the lower portion of the Jordan Valley in a mountain range that rises to 4,000 feet above sea level, and the lake is about 700 below the Mediterranean Sea. One of its more noteworthy aspects is that it gets incredibly sudden and severe storms. Okay, maybe not like what happens at Lake Soar. Okay, I know it kind of dims and it's in the same comparison, but you get some pretty violent storms with the cold air rushing down the mountains and meeting up with the warm air off the water. Jesus had just fed the 5,000 that we talked about last week with only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And that we saw that once he had done that, he then sends his disciples off on the ship to go to the next place they're headed. He stays behind and goes to the mountainside to pray. A severe storm, as I just talked about, comes up, and despite the fact that the disciples are diligently rowing, they're getting nowhere. In fact, they're getting pushed out further into the sea, and they're being tossed and battered about. They're becoming weary, and I'm sure very afraid. So somewhere between 3 and 6 o'clock in the morning, they suddenly see Jesus walking towards them on the surface of the water. And they think he's a ghost. And they're even more frightened. Jesus immediately comes and says to them, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." Peter, being that kind of personality, impulsively challenges this statement and asks for some proof. So Jesus bids Peter to step out of the boat and walk into the ocean with him. Peter steps out confidently onto the sea, takes a few steps. He suddenly stops when he sees and thinks about the storm and becomes afraid. He is distracted. He doubts his faith and his ability to walk on the sea, and he begins to sink. Jesus reaches out and saves him. Jesus tells Peter he has little faith for doubting him. And Jesus and Peter board the ship, and the disciples praise Jesus, claiming he is the Son of God. So once Jesus is on board the ship, the strong wind comes to a stop, and they proceed safely to their next destination. All right, so Jesus walks on water, and Peter walks on water, and the storm is calmed. Those are pretty good miracles, I think. What does all that mean to us today? So in the process of thinking about this story a little more for myself and preparing to talk with you and to share my reflections on it, I ran across Pastor Jeffrey Curtis Poor. He authors a blog online. And he talks about 5 practical takeaways from this story. Now, I'm from New England, so practical makes sense to me. So it seemed like something I should listen a little more carefully for. So I'm going to share those takeaways that he shared, and I'm going to share them with you. Number one, peace is not found in the absence of a storm, but in the presence of Jesus. When Jesus bids Peter to come to him, he didn't calm the storm first. He invites Peter to step out into the storm, into the rough seas. He invites Peter out, and then when Peter begins to sink, he rebukes him for his lack of faith, because he took his eyes off Jesus and began to focus on the storm instead. We think peace is found when the waves of life are calm, but Jesus never promised us smooth sailing. Instead, he promised to always be with us. And peace is found in the presence of Jesus, even in the middle of a storm. Peter's walk on water teaches us that in the middle of storms, we can have peace if we keep our eyes on Jesus. The storms of life give us good reason to be afraid sometimes, but Jesus is bigger than even the scariest of storms. And this is true for each of our own personal storms and those of our church. Two, faith requires stepping out of the boat. I like comfort. I like safety as much as anybody else, and that's not a bad thing. But lately, I find myself having an overwhelming desire for these things. It's become incredibly important to be in my safe little corner. Sometimes Jesus is going to ask us to take a risk and trust him. Sometimes you have to step out of the boat. In opening up today and sharing my spiritual thoughts with all of you today, I am most definitely stepping out of the boat. Feels a little rocky up here. Just like the Apostle Peter, sometimes we will step out of the boat and we will become overcome by fear and we will sink. But Jesus is right there to catch us. We might stumble, but we won't drown. I bet the next time Peter stepped out of the boat, he did so more confidently. His faith and trust in Jesus was greater. The same will be true for you, and I hope true for me. The more steps of faith you take, the easier it gets. And once you see God's faithfulness, it's easy to trust him more and more. So, step out of the boat. Three, without Jesus, you'll sink. Peter's walk on water was pretty short-lived. It was short-lived because he took his eyes off Jesus. He was distracted by the storm all around him. Peter learned an important lesson that day that we shouldn't ignore. When we take our eyes off Jesus, the storms of life will quickly overcome us. When Christians stop looking to Jesus, they quickly sink. They get sucked into temptations, they get overwhelmed by life, they forget who's in control. Life is full of storms, big storms, storms that will destroy, unless you keep your eyes on Jesus. With Jesus, you cannot only endure, you can walk on water above and through that storm. So keep your eyes on Jesus. Four, worship is our response. Maybe the most important lesson from the Jesus and Peter walking on water story is our response to the power of Jesus. It's worship. Our response is always grateful worship. When we encounter Jesus, we should worship him. Matthew intentionally highlights this moment because that's the point of the story. It isn't about Peter and his faith or lack thereof. Ultimately, it was about the power of Jesus, the miracles. Our response to Jesus Christ should be the same as the disciples. When we encounter him, it should bring us to a place of worship. It should remind us of who we are and who he is. And I think about the holy moments that many of us have been talking about and sharing with each other in this congregation. They're all little reminders to pause and worship. Five, the Yeah, we're almost there. When you follow Jesus, he will do incredible things through you. Now, Pastor Jeffrey Curtis Poor closes his discussion of this Bible story with this affirmation, and I want to share his words directly. He says, "I'm convinced God wants to tell an incredible story through your life. He wants to do things in you and through you that you can't even imagine. God has walk-on-water moments for you. God wants to tell a good story in your life. It's a great story. And oftentimes we settle for boring and safe stories. But I bet Peter was thinking about the time he walked on water for the rest of his life, and I bet he shared it everywhere. Because he took a risk. It's a great story. Wow. He didn't play it safe. He stepped out of the boat. God wants the same for all of us. He wants to tell a good story in our lives. Please let him tell that good story. And I am asking each of you to join me and step out of that boat.